Let us pray. God of life, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our minds and hearts lead us to deeper understanding of you and the love you call us to live. Amen. And Peter said to Jesus, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Peter may have said to him, here's my heart. Oh, take and seal it. Seal it for your very own. So we are ending an 8-week series that has taken us through the stories of Peter as he responded to Jesus' invitation to follow me. That's a long time ago. As he left his fishing business to become a disciple. The path of learning and being a disciple has been a wandering path with moments of great clarity, lots of questions for clarification, and an evening of denial and shame. The resource that we have been used has that we've used has been entitled A Wandering Heart, and the themes for each story have come from the hymn Come Thou Font of Every Blessing. Some may be joining this series at number 8, and some may have been here the whole series. But today's reading is one of the resurrection stories, and while most of the series has been in Lent, it's appropriate that it concludes on this second Sunday in the season of Easter. Because it's important that we see resurrection in Peter's faith and life, especially when it may be the echo of the rooster crowing that lingers in his mind and in ours. The Gospels include a variety of accounts and stories of Jesus' resurrection appearances. There is great mystery in these stories. We have more questions than answers about the details and truth of these stories. It may be helpful to remember that they are testimonies of faith rather than newspaper accounts. It was the oral tradition that these stories were passed down and not written for 30, 40, 50 years. And yet details like it was 153 fish survive. The gift of these resurrection stories is that they offer images and metaphors of hope, of trust, of empowerment, of life, and so offer us some resources. As we live with grief, with despair, with questions, with lament, the hope and meaning of resurrection is the foundation of the truth that Christianity offers into the world. Out of death comes life. Out of despair, there's hope. In the darkness, there is light. Nadia Boltz-Weber, a current writer and speaker and pastor in the United States, writes, the Christian faith, while wildly misrepresented in so much of American culture, is really about death and resurrection. It's about how God continues to reach into the graves. We dig for ourselves and pull us out, giving us new life in ways both dramatic and small. So Peter has dug himself a grave of shame, of regret, of fear, as he lives with the designation of being the rock upon which the church will be built, and the reality that when the pressure was the greatest, he denied knowing Jesus, he denied being a disciple. We heard that Peter ran to the tomb on Easter morning. And then we hear that he went home. And so in the reading today, we hear that he was back out fishing. And the echoes from the story when he was called to be a disciple a few years before are certainly there. The abundance of fish, the voice of Jesus, Jesus saying, "Follow me." One of the things that we sometimes underestimate in hearing these resurrection stories year after year is that the disciples and followers of Jesus were living with grief. They were living in a context where it would have been hard to know what to do next. We can imagine how the stages of grief may have been at work in their souls and in their conversations. Anger, denial, bargaining, depression, acceptance. Even with the joy of the Easter moments, they were probably still not sure what to do next. Maybe because of the joy of the Easter experiences, they really didn't know what to do next. So in the story, we hear that Peter was in a boat, and again, it's one of these intriguing details in the story. We hear that he was naked, but put clothes on to jump into the water to go toward the risen Christ. On the shore, they have breakfast over a fire, and as they break bread, they remember the teachings of Jesus. "This do in remembrance of me." And then Peter and Jesus have an important dialogue, with Jesus' questions being, "Do you love me?" And it may sound overdramatic with the exchange happening three times. Even Peter seems exasperated the third time. "Jesus, I told you, I love you. Yes, I love you." And yet the drama of the story seems to be erasing each of the three denials with a commitment of love and instructions about feeding my sheep. At one point in the ministry of Jesus, Peter asks about how many times he had to forgive. And this story shows that Jesus' grace moves beyond the past to give new life to Peter's sense of vocation and purpose. Maybe the detail about Peter being naked in the boat is about the reality that Peter was pretty vulnerable. His wounds exposed. And in this story, he's able to shed the clothing of grief and shame and regret. And he's able to put on the clothes of hope and of commitment and of meaning. I'm reminded of the words in the letter to the church at Colossae. "As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience." We are reminded that the Easter truth is that we are able to be pulled out of the graves that we dig for ourselves, that we find ourselves in because of circumstances and realities and systems in our world, and be given new life by the grace and power of the Holy at work in our world. Easter is not only a story of the past, but a truth that is at work in our lives and in our world as we are invited to clothe ourselves with hope. jumping into the sea is optional. It's been good to spend this focused time on Peter. Faithful and messy, humble and afraid, loving and cautious, Peter. Because it's a reminder that we don't need to have all the answers. We can make mistakes. Our hearts and minds and faith can wander on a twisted path and still be a disciple. We can live with grief. We can feel naked before God and still be a recipient of grace and empowered with purpose. Peter was called to fish for people. And now that metaphor shifts as he invited to feed the lambs and tend the sheep. It's an invitation to be clothed with compassion and humility, and yet to live a bold discipleship as an agent of new life and hope. The Easter message is not outdated. It's not old-fashioned, because there are a lot of graves that we have dug in our lives and have dug in our world that create a lot of despair, injustice, sorrow. Where does new life need to emerge? Whether our thoughts in response to that question are personal or communal or global or all of the above, we are invited to imagine that the risen Christ is asking us, do you love me? Do you want to follow the way of love and hope? And so we may be able to sing, here's my heart. Here's my heart, I'll take and seal it. Seal it for your very own. And how often do we need to sing or to live that promise? 1, 3, as many times as needed to nourish a faith and a trust that we are not alone. As many times as needed to find life out of death and hope out of despair. For we are invited to find the courage to live a bold discipleship in a world that craves compassion, justice, peace, and hope. So as we live our lives, may we recognize the glimpses, the signs, the symbols, the memories, the questions that remind us who we are as God's people, as followers of Jesus. And may there be a sense of joy as an Easter people. Amen. On the screens and in the bulletin are printed words of an affirmation of faith. Again, these are something that came from the Wondering Heart resource. So I invite us to stand and to share these words together, and then we'll sing our hymn. We believe in a God who shows up in our lives, surprising and catching us off guard in the best of ways. We believe in a God who cares for God's people, a shepherd who longs for her sheep to be fed and tended. We believe in a God who took on flesh, a God whose love changed the world as we know it. We believe that this here and now God invites us out of the boat, calling ordinary people like Peter, like us, into a life of service and community. And so we give our hearts. We give our whole hearts and nothing less. Amen.